Rabosai, we're on Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, and the reason I say Samach Vav Amud Aleph, even though we're really at the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, is because we're going to have to lead up to it a little bit by reviewing some of what we learned in yesterday's shiur. And we were talking about a case where you have a guy and he shares the chatzer with two Jews, and he left before Shabbos. They made an eruv that would allow them each to carry respectively from their homes out to the chatzer, but then the guy showed up on Shabbos and they allowed for schirus and for bittul rishus, and that means there was a combination of two elements here. Number one, the eruv is completely gone; it's invalid once the guy shows up, because you cannot make an eruv with a guy who has rights to the chatzer. And not only that, even if you'll get schirus from the guy, which sort of eliminates that problem, but still, there's a principle called Ein Erev B'Shabbos. You can't make an Erev B'Shabbos. So therefore, Reish Lakish and others came up with the solution of being Mevatel L'Rishus. So let's say you had two Jewish families. One Jewish family would be Mevatel L'Rishus to the other. And then the person, as we discussed yesterday, to whom there was Bittul Rishus, he could carry from his house out to the Chotzer. And what we got up to was the question of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Toile, you know, he had a question, and Rabbi Zera didn't understand what his question was, and Rabbi Sheshes didn't understand why Rabbi Zera didn't understand what Rabbi Elazar's question was. And the question that Rabbi Elazar was bothered by was a statement of his Rebbe Shmuel. And the Amar Shmuel. Now, Shmuel has three rules. And all these three rules are coming to determine when does Bittul Rishus operate? When is it valid? And Shmuel sets up two conditions that have to be met. Number one, it's called Makom She'osrim. And number two, it's called Makom Ve'ma'arvim. So Bittul Rishus is meaningful if A, you have two Jews that share a chatzer, and we'll explain the details, and therefore neither one of these two Jews could carry in the chatzer. Each one generates an isra on the other. But number two, they could set up an eruv. If for whatever reason they didn't set up an eruv, let's say for example one of them, you know, there were many Jewish families that shared that same chatzer, but one of them did not participate in the Erev for whatever reason, then we have what's called Bittul Rishus. Now Shmuel says, if one of those two conditions is lacking, then there's no Bittul Rishus. Bittul Rishus is not an option. And Shmuel gives us scenario number two, where one of the two conditions is lacking, and scenario number three, where the other one of those two conditions is lacking. So again, scenario number one is, let's say for example, you'd have two chatzeros. One is a pnimis and one is a chitzona. And Reuven, who lives in the Pnimis, has drisas regel, he has rights, what do we call it? Yesterday we had a phrase that we invented, passer's rights, you know, passage rights, right? He had passage rights to go through the chatzer achitzona, which means through, we'll call it Shimon's chatzer. And since Reuven has rights to Shimon's chatzer, therefore he generates an iser on Shimon. Shimon is not going to be allowed to carry from his house into the chatzer. So that's one condition that's met. And number two, if an Erev would have been set up, it would have been valid. That means that Reuven and Shimon could have joined together with one Erev, and then Shimon would be able to carry from his house out to the Chutz. If, in event, there was no Erev, then we have the fallback position of Bittul Rishus, and Reuven will be Mevatel his Rishus of Drisas Regel, of passageway through Shimon's exterior courtyard, and therefore Reuven is out of the picture. Shimon now has exclusive rights to the Chatzer, and therefore he doesn't need a name. So that's called Bittul Rishus, because you have two conditions. Condition number one is that based on the Zchus of Drisas Regel that Reuven has in Shimon's Chatzer, we have Osrim Zelzer. Number two, we have the option of an Erev. And number three, therefore, if there was no Erev, then we fall back on Bittul Rishus. That was the Resha, the first of the three parts of Shmuel's statement. Then we get to the second part of Shmuel's statement, and that was Ma'arvin V'ein Osrim. And then we'll have the third statement of V'ein Ma'arvin Osrim V'ein Ma'arvin. Correct? So we have the second case is going to be Ma'arvin V'ein Osrim, and the third case would be Osrim V'ein Ma'arvin. Okay. So let's go through case number two and then case number three. Case number two is called Mi'arvin V'ein Osrim. Keep going. So Gemara says, what would be an example of this theoret, of this conceptual definition called, which is called what? Ma'arvin V'ein Osrim. That's going to be a case of Kigon Shtei Chatzeros U'Pesach Echad Beinehem. Okay, so we have two Chatzeros, and these two courtyards, each one opens up into whatever. It spills into a Mavu, it spills into a Shesarabin. And there's an opening between these two chatzeros, which means that, let's say you have two houses that share one common courtyard. You have another two houses that share a different common courtyard, but there's a passageway between the two chatzeros. This is going to fit the description of Shmuel, the middle of the three, called Ma'arvin V'ein Osrim. In other words, if they want to be Matir Hotzah from one Chatzah to the other, they need an Eruv. And the Eruv would be meaningful. But as far as the Bnei Chatzah A generating an Iser on the Bnei Chatzah B or vice versa, that's not so. Why? Because each Chatzah has its own houses that spill into the Chatzer, and each Chatzer is a separate entity. And neither one of the two Chatzeros has what's called Zchus Drisas Regel al Shnir. Why? Because each Chatzer has its exit out into Rishus HaRabim or into a Mavui, whatever it might be. So since each chatzer has its own exit, then one chatzer could say to the other, why are you walking through my chatzer? You want to get out to Rishus HaRabim, you have your own exit through Rishus HaRabim. So there's no zchus of passage, of what we call drisas regel. And therefore, ein osrim zelzeh. The fact that in one particular chatzer, there's a bunch of Jews that share that chatzer, that has no impact on the Jews in the adjoining chatzer to generate any Iser for them to carry out into their chatzer. Is then we have Ma'arvin V'ein Osrim. And that was the second category. Now we're up to the third category. And what's that called? That's called Osrim V'ein Ma'arvim. What's Osrim V'ein Ma'arvim? So that's what we got up to yesterday. And that is the last two lines on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Two lines plus one word. Osrim the Ein Ma'arvin. Ein Mevatlin. There's no Bittul Rishus. Right, so, I mean, maybe I forgot to point this out. In the previous case of Ma'arvin v'ein Osrim, they could have set up an Eruv that would allow them to carry from one Chatzah to the other. In the absence of a valid Eruv, Bittul Rishus is not going to be meaningful. Because Bittul Rishus is only meaningful in a case of Osrim Zal Zeh. Meaning that there's a relationship between these two Chatzeros. That's called Osrim Zal Zeh. And to nullify or neutralize that relationship, we set up some enterprise called Bittul Rishus. But if there's no relationship between these two chatzeros, each chatzer has its own exit out into Rishus Harabim, neither chatzer has Rishus of Drisus Regal and the other chatzer, then there's no such thing as Bittul Rishus. The only option they have is an Eruv, and it's all or nothing. It's 100% or bust. Either they have an Eruv or they don't have an Eruv. Now we're going on to the flip case. The flip side case is Ein Ma'arvin Va'osrim Zelze. Lav La'asuye Nachri. The Gemara says that by process of elimination, we don't have any other scenario that would fit this category, and you know, if the shoe fits, wear it, except for a Nachri. So you have a Nachri who shares a chutzah, let's say with two Jewish families, because we're going like, let's say, Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov, right? So you have two Jewish families. And now, there's no possibility of an Eruv. As opposed to the two Chatzeros in the previous case, where they could join together with one Eruv, and then they could carry from one Chatzah to the other. Here, there's no possibility of an Eruv. And the reason for that is because the Nachri, insofar as he has ownership rights in the Chatzer, he blocks any sort of an Eruv. But it's Osrim Zelzeh. Why? Because you have two Jews that are sharing a chatzah. When you have two Jews sharing a chatzah, neither one can carry out into the chatzah until they have an Eruv. But in this case, there is no possibility of an Eruv. So that's going to be the case of Shmuel, which is called Osrim V'ein Ma'arfim, because there's a Nachri. And by introducing that element of Nachri into the equation, you make it impossible to set up an Eruv. So now the Gemara is going to prove that based on this three-part statement of Shmuel about Bittul Rishus, that this is against the sugya that we had before of Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, and all those who said that Bittul Rishus will be effective. The Gemara says, Ve'i di asa me esmo. If the guy was there on Erev Shabbos, as Shabbos entered, is logier me esmo. They could have rented out the rights to the chatzah from this guy me esmo. So why did Shmuel say osrim v'ein ma'arvin? As if to say that the existence of a guy who owns rights in the chatzah makes it absolutely impossible to set up an eruv. That's not true. Schirus is an option in which they could have set up an Eruv. So then Bittul Rishus would have been a viable possibility according to Shmuel. So how did Shmuel, by virtue of the fact that there's a Nachri in the picture, he excluded Eruv? He excluded Bittul Rishus because there's no Ma'arvim Zelzeh. There is Ma'arvim Zelzeh. Why? Because they could, you know, they could neutralize the guy, if you want to use that phrase, by buying out his rights to the chatzah. And that's called schirus. Now we turn to Samach Vav Amud Beis, and we have to come up with the scenario in which Shmuel said that there's no Bittul Rishus because the existence of a Nachri, Ela Lav, it must be, the Asa B'Shabsa. It means that the guy was not available on Erev Shabbos, therefore, with the onset of Shabbos, Ben Hashmosh, there was no possibility of an Eruv. And now, Shmuel tells me, oh, okay, there's no possibility of an Eruv, but you want to set up a Bittul Rishus. How are you going to set up a Bittul Rishus? The guy showed up on Shabbos. That nullifies your Eruv, and now you're going to substitute with a Bittul Rishus. Shmuel says, no. Since there's no possibility of an Eruv, right? But Osrim, right? Osrim v'ein ma'arvim, which means that you now have two Jews that are sharing a common chotzer, that's called Osrim zelzeh. They need an Eruv, but there's no possibility of an Eruv. And why is there no possibility of an Eruv? Because the guy shows up on Shabbos. Just one second. The guy shows up on Shabbos. Right. Even though you'll ask me, well, okay, the guy shows up on Shabbos, but let's enter into a schirus arrangement with the guy. Yeah, the answer is ein ma'arvin b'Shabbos. Once the guy shows up, the Erev is nullified, null and void, and I cannot create a new Erev on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan, under the previous sugi that we learned yesterday, allowed you to avail yourself of the possibility of Bittul Rishus. Shmuel is saying, in this exact case, there's no Bittul Rishus. Is this becomes Osrim v'ein ma'arvin. They desperately need an Erev because they're two Jews sharing a chotzer. The guy has now invalidated their Erev the moment he shows up on Shabbos. And there's no possibility, therefore, of setting up an Erev on Shabbos. What's your fallback position? Bittul Rishus. Say Shmuel, this is a case of Osrim, of Ein Ma'arvin v'Osrim Zedzeh. And therefore, there's no Bittul Rishus. Now, let me just think for a moment if we can explain Shmuel's position logically. Is Osrim v'Ein Ma'arvin? Oh, I understand. Basically, Shmuel is saying that Bittul Rishus is an institution that was created as a substitute for an Eruv. Why do we need a substitute for an Eruv? Because one Joe forgot to contribute to the Eruv. So the Rabbanon created a new mechanism as a fallback position to allow carrying out into the Chotzer without an Eruv. And basically, Bittul Rishus is a kind of substitute for an Eruv. Say Shmuel, that only applies if there would be a possibility of an Eruv. But if the Halacha precludes the possibility of an Eruv, then there's no Bittul Rishus. So let's just review the two conditions that Shmuel requires in order to set up a Bittul Rishus. Number one, it has to be Osrim Zedzeh, meaning that there's a pressing need for an Eruv, and the Rabbanan therefore are going to stretch the rules and offer this option called Bittul Rishus. And number two, there's a possibility of an Eruv, and the Bittul Rishus is a substitute for the Eruv. But if you're missing either of those two conditions, for example, you have two separate chatzeros, and there's no Osrim Zeldzeh, if they decide they want to carry from one chatz to the other, let them make an Eruv till Zayin Gezunten Shtark, but they need an Eruv for that. We're not going to create an option called Bittul Rishus as a substitute for an Eruv in a case where life could go on fine and dandy as is without an Eruv. Again, they're allowed, then they can take the advantage of the option of an Eruv, but in the absence of an Eruv, each Chatzar has its own exit way to Rishus HaRabim. So, well, what's the pressing need? They want to make an Eruv and carry from one Chatz to the other, so Zayin Gezunten Shtark. But we don't have to create an option of a substitute if they didn't make an Eruv of Bittul Rishus, when the Eruv is not really necessary. It's a luxury item. Oh, that's a good word. Say Shmuel, in the first of the two exclusions of Bittul Rishus, that if the Eruv is a luxury item, because it's Ein Osrim Zelzeh, we're not going to offer a new creative, out-of-the-box kind of substitute for an Eruv. Why? Because you don't need the Eruv. Now we have a second situation where you really need the Eruv, it's Osrim Zelzeh, but the Halacha doesn't allow you to make an Eruv. And once again, Shmuel says there's no Bittul Rishus, because the Bittul Rishus is coming as a substitute for the Eruv, but the Eruv itself is possible. And the Gemara thinks that what's going to be the case where the Eruv is impossible and it's Osrim Zelzeh, The answer is with a Nachri. Now, when did this Nachri show up? If he showed up on Erev Shabbos, then there is a possibility of an Eruv, because we could just buy him off, you know, rental agreement, blah, blah, blah. Neutralize the guy, set up an Eruv, and if we fail to do so, then we have a fallback position called Bittul Rishus. So that can't be what Shmuel is talking about, because that would be a case of Osrin Zedzed. There are three families that share the same court. You know, two are Jewish, one is a guy. The guy is available on Erev Shabbos, so the Eruv is an option. And if the Eruv is not an option because they forgot to make an Eruv, then we'll have the fallback position of Bittul Rishus. So again, what's the case of Shmuel where it's impossible to set up an Eruv, and therefore Shmuel excludes the possibility of Bittul Rishus? It's got to be a case where the Nachri was not available on Erev Shabbos, but he flew in from Orlando on Shabbos. Okay, now he appears on Shabbos, shows up. He's got rights to that he can exercise to use the chatzer. Hey, you can't set up an Eruv here with the guy. So Eruv now is not an option. I will buy off the guy and give him schirus. There's no Eruv on Shabbos. In such a case, it's Osrim Zelzeh. You've got two Jews in a chatzer. They need an Eruv desperately. The Eruv was good until, you know, Shabbos afternoon, but now it's no longer valid. And they can't set up an Eruv. They don't have an option of Bittul Rishus. Hence, we derive the conclusion, and that was the Tmiyah of Rabbi Eliezer, of Rabbi Lazar, that Shmuel is against what we said before, Rabbi Yochanan, that if the guy shows up on Shabbos, we'll operate with the mechanics of Bittul Rishus. Shma Mino. And the Gemara says that Achein, this is going to be the final conclusion, that Shmuel was referring to a case where the guy shows up on Shabbos, and Shmuel rejects the option of Mevatlin Rishuso B'Shabbos, because since he couldn't make an Eruv, and again, yesterday he could make an Eruv on Erev Shabbos because the guy was not available, so he couldn't set up a Schirus. Today he can't set up the Eruv because there's no such thing as setting up an Eruv on Shabbos, even if we could get the guy to sign Schirus. And this is what Rabbi Elazar was wondering about. How could the Amoraim, and amongst them Rabbi Yochanan, agree to this kind of arrangement of Bittul Rishus against Shmuel? And again, you have to keep in mind that Rabbi Elazar has Shmuel's statement and his ruling in mind, because Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Shmuel. Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Shmieli Ha Shmaita. I didn't hear this whole presentation of Shmuel, of two chatzeros. One is the inner chatzer, the other is the outer chatzer. And Shmuel validates the option of Bittul Rishus, which means that the inner chatzer, we'll call him Ruvain, he could be mevatel his chus of Drisas Regel. And once he's mevatel, he removes his Rishus to Drisas Regel, then Shimon, who lives in the Chitzona, is allowed to carry from his house out to the Chitzona. And Rav Yosef was not aware of this statement of Shmuel. Now, you have to understand, Rav Yosef suffered in his later years from amnesia, and he forgot his Torah. And Abaye was the outstanding student of Rav Yosef, who used to remind Rav Yosef of the Torah that he taught Abaye when he was still working with all his faculties. Amalei Abaye at Amrit Nilon. You, Rav Yosef, actually taught us this very halacha. V'aha Amrit Nilon. Maybe I can remind you, jolt your memory. You said the Omer Shmuel, Ein Bittul Rishus Michatzer Lechatzer. That if you have two chatzeros, each one independent, and each one has its own exit out into Rishus HaRabim, that means there's no Drisus Regel from one chatzah to the other, and therefore there's no Bittul Rishus. You cannot permit carrying from one chutz to the other through bitul rishus, because bitul rishus only operates when it's osrim zelze. And furthermore, v'ein bitul rishus bechurva. Now, this is a whole new statement, a whole new formulation, which we'll try to explain. But before we explain that, I don't want to lose, you know, our general direction here. So let's just put it on the back burners for a moment. V'amrit lan Allah, after you, Rav Yosef, quoted this statement in the name of Shmuel, you added the following commentary. Ki amar Shmuel, when did Shmuel say ein bitul rishus michatzel chatzel amar in el b'shtei chatzeres u'pesach echad beinehem? There are two independent chatzeros, each one opens up independently to rishus harabim, has its own exit way, but there's an opening between one chatz and the other, and it's ein osrim zelzeh, because neither one of the two bali chatzeres has zechus drisas regel in the other chatzer. And therefore there's no bitul rishus. Aval zulif nimizu. But if you have an inner courtyard and an outer courtyard in such a way that the Baal HaPnimis has schus, drisas, regel, to go out through the chater hachitzona, because again, the chater HaPnimis has no exit out to rishus rab. The only way you get out to rishus rab is by going through the chater hachitzona. He gains rights of drisas regel, passage rights through rishus hachitzono, is then Shmuel would say mitoch sha'osrim zel zeh mevatlim, that since the bnei hapnimis generate an isra onto the bnei hachitzono, therefore bitul rishus is an option, meaning if all things are equal and they want to carry from one chatzah to the other, or shall we say, let's say the Bnei Achitzona want to carry from their house out to the Chatzer, they would need an Eruv, but if for whatever reason, a fluke, they didn't do the Eruv, then we have the fallback position of Bittul Rishus. And this is basically the tradition and the transmission of Shmuel, which Rav Yosef claimed he never heard of it. And Abai said, wait a minute, you yourself taught it to us. First, you made a general statement in the name of Shmuel that bitul ein bitul rishus michatzel chatzer, and now you went ahead as you taught the words of Shmuel and you explained the words of Shmuel. And you limited the case of ein bitul rishus michatzel chatzer to the case of two chatzeros, as opposed to the case of a chatz pnimis and a chatz chitzon. So again, I still owe you a debt here. What does it mean? Ein bitul rishus bechurva. But again, I'm still trying to get the logical flow of the Gemara. Amar le Rav Yosef responds to Abaye with a question. He says, "Ano amina mishmei de Shmuel hachi? Did I actually say this in the name of Shmuel? Ve'amar Shmuel, I have a different statement that I definitely heard from Shmuel, and that much I remember, is ein lanu, we don't add any new leniencies in the laws of carrying be'erivin, in the laws of erivin, ela kilasha mishnasen. Any kind of a leniency that we have in the laws of erivin has to be firmly based on the text of a mishnah. That's what Shmuel said. So Shmuel gave us a rule of psak as far as kulos in Erevin. It has to be kiloshon mishnah seina. Now, what is the point of Rav Yosef quoting this rule of Shmuel? It's to interpret the mishnah of bitul rishus. You know, we've been talking for a few days now about bitul rishus, but we never stopped to ask, where's the source for bitul rishus? It can't be in the Gemara, it's got to be in the Mishnah. And the answer is, it's in a Mishnah later on, Adaf Samach Tesam in Beis, it's not too far away. And the Mishnah says, quote, Anshei Chotzer Sheshochach Echemem Velo Irev. So you have a number of members of one, you know, partners in one Chotzer, one of them forgot to contribute to the Eru. Is Beiso Osur Milikones Umilahotzi Lo Vilahem. His bias now generates an isur of carrying in and out from the house to the chatzar, in and out in both directions, both for him and for them. But the Mishnah says, Nasnu lo reshusam, that's the quote of the language of the Mishnah, Nasnu lo reshusam, which means bitul reshus, is hu mutar vehem asurim. Okay, hu mutar vehem asurim. Now, the Mishnah opens up with two words, anshei chatzer, and one of them forgot. So, anshei chatzer. Now, when you use the term anshei chatzer, it means that there's one chatzer that's being shared by many different people. Velo anshei chatzeros. So, when the Mishnah introduces bitul reshus with the language of nosin lo reshuso, it's dafka in a case of anshei chatzer, many Jews that share one particular chatzer. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have gone a step further and mentioned anshei chatzeros in the plural. So it means that the Mishnah is implying, by excluding anshei chatzeros and instead of using the terminology anshei chatzer in the singular, that there ain't no such thing as bitul reshus in a case of two chatzeros. And that, says Rav Yosef, in the light of Shmuel's ruling, should apply even in a case of Osrim Zal Zeh, which means even in a case of a Chatzah Pnimis and a Chatzah Chitzona, there's no way that you can operate with Bitul Rishus from one Chatzah to the other. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have said Anshei Chatzeros in the plural. Now, if that's, you know, in the light of that statement of Shmuel, which Rav Yosef is quoting because he heard it directly from Shmuel, then it's impossible that I, says Rav Yosef, would have said in the name of Shmuel that there is bitul reshus from the chatzah pnimis to the chatzah chitzona, because that's a case of two chatzeros, and the Mishnah only allows for bitul reshus in the case of anshei chatzer, which means chatzer achas, not in the case of shtei chatzeros. Amalei, so Abai responds to Rav Yosef. He says, ki amrit lo mishmei de Shmuel, when you said over this statement in the name of Shmuel, and what was the content of that statement? Ein lanu b'yerevin ela kilosha mishna senu aha amritlan. It wasn't on that mishnah of anshei chatzer, but you said in the context of a different mishnah, which is even later in Masechta Erevin, on Daf Ayin Gimel, and the Mishnah says Shamavui lechatzeros kechatzer lebatim. Okay, so we're going to give now a summary of Rashi's interpretation of this Mishnah Shamavui lechatzeros kechatzer lebatim. Kishem she'ein lahotzi me'abatim lechatzer, kach ein lahotzi me'chatzeros lemavui. Okay, now we have Shmuel's statement that Ein lanu be'erevin ela kelashon mishnas seinu, which means the following: that Ein lanu lahatir b'mavui al yedei lechi v'kora elim kein chatzeros ubatim psuchim lesocham kelashon mishnah Umiut Rabim Shnaim. Alkein Ein La Tiro El Rakim Yeshlo Lefachot Shtei Chatzeros. We call Achas Mihen Lefachot Shnei Bat. So when the Mishnah says Shamavui Lechatzeros Kechatzer Lebatim, it means that if you want to carry from the Chatzeros into the Mavui, we're not going to allow that unless there are Chatzeros and batim psuchim lesocho. And chatzeros is plural, which means you have to have a minimum of two chatzeros. Batim is plural, you have to have a minimum of two batim. So you've got two chatzeros. Each chatzer has a minimum of two batim. And now, if you want to carry from the chatzeros into a mavui, now you're going to allow doing so with a lechi and a korah. And why? What condition has now been fulfilled that allows you to set up the lechi and the mavui to be matir, carrying from the chatzer, the chatzeros, to the mavui? It's the fact that we have two chatzeros, each one of which has two batim, and these two chatzeros spill into a mavui. So, you know, we really have to take this and start Masechta Erevin from beginning. Right, because we go back to the first parak of Mavui and Lechi and Korah, and we have to see, you know, we always assume that, you know, there was a chatzah that spilled into a Mavui, and you want to set up a separation between the Mavui and the Rishus HaRabim, so you set up a Lechi and a Korah. Now we're saying that's not enough. It's not enough that you have a chatzah that spills into a Mavui. You have to have two chatzeros that spill into the same Mavui. You can imagine the picture, one on the right, one on the left. And each chatzer has to be made up of two batim. And we derive this from Shmuel's statement that ein lanu be'erevin ela kolosh mishna senu, that if you want to allow carrying from a chatzin to a mavui, which requires a lechi and a korah, you have to find the leniency of lechi and korah in the language of the Mishnah. And if you look carefully in the language of the Mishnah says chatzeros in plural, and batim in plural, which means that each chatzer of the two chatzeros has two batim. So therefore, Abai is deflecting the position of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, well, it's impossible that Shmuel would have allowed bitul reshus in the case of a chatzer pnimis and a chatzer chitzonis, because Shmuel told us that we have to read the Mishnah carefully, and the Mishnah says, anshei chatzer, with one chatzer, not allowing bitul reshus in the case of two chatzeros, says Abai. Nein. When you, Rav Yosef, transmitted this principle of Shmuel, ein lanu ela b'lashon mishnasenu, you transmitted Shmuel as an attachment or an embellishment, interpreting the Mishnah Dafayin Gimel of chatzeros leading to a mavui, and you want to be matir chatzeros leading into a mavui with a lechi and a korah, and you require two chatzeros, you require each chatzer as two batim. In that context, Shmuel says, ein lanu b'erevin ela kolashon mishnasen. So therefore, our diuk, meaning Rav Yosef's diuk, that in the Mishnah bitul reshus later on at Samach Tes, that it only applies in Chatzer Achas. No. That's not what Shmuel meant. Shmuel wasn't referring to that. Okay. So just to summarize, and then I want to go back to the principle of Ein Bitul Reshus B'Churva. He says, Me'ata Ein L'Daik Min HaMishnah Odos Bitul Reshus She'enu Noeg El B'Chotzer Achas Shelo Aleo Amar Shmuel She'esh L'Daik B'Dvareh V'lo L'Hakel Yoser Ela Hu Noeg Gam B'Shtei Chatzeros B'Ofen She'achas Oser Sal HaShnia, which means the Pnimis and the Chitzona, Sha Pnimis M'Vatelis Es Reshusa L'Chitzona U'Matirosa B'Otsa L'Chotzer, that the Baal Ha Chitzona is allowed to carry into his chatzer if the pnimis, the bala pnimis, will declare, I'm being mavatel my reshus, meaning my schus of drisas regal into your chatzer. So we have a case where Shmuel himself would validate bitul reshus, even though there are two chatzeros. If the two chatzeros are separate, independent, they each have their own exit way to Rishus HaRabim, then it's Ein Osrim Zal Zeh. Again, they have the option of setting up an area of chatzeres which will allow them to carry from one chatzer to the other, but in event that they did not make such an area, there's no fallback position of Bitul Rishus. And that was the case of Ma'arvin V'Ein Osrim. As far as the flip case of Ein Ma'arvin V'Osrim, that's the case where you had three families, two of which are Jewish, one is non-Jewish. The guy shows up on Shabbos. He therefore disqualifies their Eruv. And now we have a situation of Ein Ma'arvin, because there's no Eruv on Shabbos. They're Osrim Zelzeh, and Shmuel would deny the option of Bitul Rishus. Rabbi Yochanan and his Chaverim, his colleagues in the previous sugya that we learned yesterday, they will allow in that case a Bitul Rishus. Okay, now let's go back to this churva business. And Shmuel is quoted as saying here, this is Abai in the name of Rav Yosef, who in turn was quoting Shmuel, that ein bitul rishus bechurva. Okay, and once again, we're going to summarize Rashi. Churva ho medes bein shnei batim hapsuchim la. So you have two batim, and they spill into a churva, literally translated as a rune, right? R-U-I-N. Also lishtamesh ba, which I assume means that you're not allowed to carry in the churva, ela im kein irvu shnei habatim ze im ze. In other words, since these two batim spill into a churva from two sides, they have to set up an eruv in order to carry from one bias through the churva to the other bias. And in the absence of eruvin, if they didn't make the eruv, ein moil shemivatel ha'echeres reshuso. And the reason for that is shlo tiknu chacham shiyo bitul reshus el bechotzer shelifnei abayis sheshom hoya ikar shimushom. This is complicated. You see, I thought that there was a much simpler way of understanding this, that since each chotzer operates independently, therefore it's ein osrim zalze. And that's why bitul rishus cannot be operative. But that's not what Rashi is saying here. Rashi is saying that bitul rishus doesn't work here because the chachamim were not masakin bitul rishus unless it's a chotzer shelifnei abayis. So you want to be mevatel your rishus. Like, let's take the case of the pnimis and the chitzona, right? So the pnimis is mevatel's rishus to the chitzona. And now the chitzona could carry from his bias out into the chotzer. But here, in the case of psuchim lechurva, we're not talking about a chotzer in front of the bias, and we're not talking about carrying from the bias out into the chotzer. That would lend itself to either an eruv or bitul rishus, but rather we're talking about a case where they want to carry out into a churva. I can give it to you in vague terms. Obviously, it needs a lot more polishing. The concept of the concept, just 1 second, I need one more little. The concept of bitul rishus as a substitute for eruvin is only in a case where one individual living, let's say, in one chotzer has rishus in the other chotzer. Let me put it to you this way. Bitul rishus means that you have your bias, I have my bias. You have your chotzer, I have my chotzer. Your chotzer is the extension of your bias. My chotzer is the extension of my bias. But because I'm the pnimis, I have certain rights in your chotzer. And bitul rishus means that I'm going to let you be the, shall I say, exclusive I'm going to grant you exclusive ownership rights of your bias. And your chatzer is the extension of your bias. So the Bittul Rishus enterprise operates from bias to chatzer, meaning to the extent to which we define the chatzer as an extension of the bias, I can remove myself from your bias, and de facto, I am removing myself from your chatzer because your chatzer is an extension of your bias. That's called Bittul Rishus. So again, even before we get into all the restrictions and the conditions that Shmuel set up, we can, as we say in Hebrew, begadol, you know, in abstract terms, we can define or understand the modus vivendi of Bittul Rishus, where one person says, you know what, I can encroach into your chatzer, which means basically I'm limiting your bias because a bias needs a chatzer. Right? We always give the example of the Far East, you know, they eat out in their courtyards. Today, I mean, we could talk about it here, you know, with, you know, everything is outdoors, you know, because of Corona. If you have any, you know, guests and so forth and so on, or shuls and this. So I can be mavata by Rishus, and I can basically say to you, you know what? My bias is my bias, your bias is your bias. Shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha, as the Mishnah says in Avos. And your chatzer is part of your bias. I'm removing my rights to your chatzer. Now we get to the case of a churva. Churva is a different story. Nobody uses a churva. Again, you may pass through a churva, I guess, if it's necessary. You know, just hang your head low. Because the ceiling might fall on your head, I don't know. But certainly a churva is not an extension of a bias. Any rishus that a person has to use the churva for passage or whatever, that's a separate entity. That's an extension of a bias. And therefore, the operational function or methodology of bittul rishus does not apply to a churva. Let me just see if I could read this into the words. He says, churva omedes ben shnei batim. So you have two batim that open up into a churva. And now we need an eruv. Okay, fine. They didn't make an eruv. So it's enough that each one would be mevatel his rishus. What do you mean mevatel rishus? The whole concept of mevatel rishus means the extension of your bias, which is applicable and fits in the case of a chatzer, but it doesn't fit in the case of a churva. Ein mol shi mevatel echres rishuso lasheni. Mishum shelo tiknu chachamim sheyoel bittul rishus ele bechatzer. Sheyesham ikar shimusham. Ah, I like that phrase. It's a little bit along our lines. That if I have a bias that opens into a chatzer, I get what's called ikar shimush from the chatzer. And in that sense, the shimush of the chatzer is an extension of my bias. My bias expands to include a chatzer. You know, we can ask, would it expand to include a karpaf? You remember the case where we had with a beautiful palace that opens up into a karpaf? So we said that it depends what you're doing in the karpaf. Are you planting vegetables there? Are you planting trees that give shade? Or you set up that little gazebo, what's it called? You know, that thing. You know, we had all those variations, and the question was whether a karpaf in front of a house could also be considered an extension of his bias. But a chatzer would be a classic case of an outdoor extension of a bias. And that's called ikar shimush. But in the case of a churva, you know, that's not a comfortable place for shimush. You may have rights in the churva, and therefore you could get passage from one chatzah to the other through the churva. But for that you need an eruv. But the fallback position, in event that there was no Erev of Bitter Rishus, that doesn't operate. Now he writes in a footnote here, let's see if this will help us. V'nira mi divrei Rashi, shezel rak gam tam, she'ein Bitter Rishus mi chotze l'chotze. Let's just see if we can let me just think for a second. Ein bitter reshus mi chotze lechotze. So let's say we have two chatzeros. We have two chatzeros, and each one has an exit to the mavui, to the reshus haravim. So there's no bitter reshus. He wants to carry from one chutzah to the other, and he has passage rights. What are we going to say? He has no passage rights. Since he has no passage rights, because each chutzah has its own exit to Rishus HaRavim, therefore there's no bitul Rishus. We could make an Erev Chatzeres, but there's no bitul Rishus. Why? Because I'm not giving you anything back. I mean, the idea of Bitul Rishus is that you're the homeowner and I'm giving you back whatever rights I had in your home. I'm out of here. You can now enjoy the benefits 100% of those rights into the chatzah. But if the two chatzeros and there's no right from one chatzah to the other, then the concept of Bitul Rishus is totally inapplicable. And so too in the case of a churva, where there's no real shimush in the churva, so what does Bitul Rishus amount to? But now he quotes a Chazon Ish. Again, I don't know if this is going to help or hinder us. Sha'atam she'en Bitul Rishus mi'chotz l'chotz mishum she'i efshol l'hachshiv ezeh she'bitlo lo kebala chotzer achar she'en lo ba klum. I know, it sounds a little bit similar to what we were talking about before, that if you don't have any rites of passage of Drisas Regal, then what's Bitul Rishus? Bitul Rishus means I'm giving you back that which is yours. And I am now removing myself in such a way that you'll have exclusive rights. Well, what does it mean, you know, in the case of two chatzeros, each one has its own exit, and therefore you have no rights in another person's chatzah. So what does it mean to be mevatel your rishus? Okay, Rabosai, so this is where we're going to stop for today. We're on Samach Vav Amid Beis, and we're up to Gufa, which is approximately 15 lines down from the top of the page. So at this point, I guess I'll wish you Shabbat Shalom, a good Shabbos. I don't know what your plans are for Yom Rishon.